Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, I'm destined.
While we're starting, let's start with someone who deserves some credit. And he got that coming off the mound yesterday. He came off the mound to a standing ovation. Credit to the Astros fans for acknowledging Lance McCullers and his performance yesterday, considering what he's gone through. Hell, even just this year. It wasn't the last time he came off the mound in that building, because he did pitch pretty okay against the Mariners. But we all remember the awful start that led to the death threats. So it hasn't been all sunshine in that building this year, but goes six innings, gets himself a quality start, and ties a career high in strikeouts. So certainly that standing ovation was warranted. They understood the moment. And Lance McCullers, congratulations to him. We know, quality start. Hasn't been a lot of those for him, not any this year, and over the last several seasons he hasn't been available. So it was his longest outing since 2022, and he helps the Astros, along with DeCenzo and Caratini, get a win over the A's. So they were down early. Lance gave up a couple runs, but kept himself in the game, found the rhythm, as I said, struck out a career high, tying a career high, and then the bats came alive in the seventh to give him the win. And of course, Hader closes it out. So they get that win over the A's, take the two games, and now they got the Rays coming in. So a nice little run for them right now, playing pretty good baseball. And on the heels of the confirmation that Ronel Blanco is done for the year and probably longer, Lance McCullers and his performances become even more important as he goes from, is he ever going to come back and pitch, to what? Right now, your third starter, Lance McCullers, which is pretty much his place in the rotation. If things are going well, if he had never been hurt, he's probably in line to be a third starter throughout his career. And he's back there due to circumstances with the likes of Colton Gordon and Gusto, the other guys in the rotation. But hey, nice for Lance, and we'll hear from him here. Actually, we'll do it when we come back, as I said, an abbreviated segment here. So we will try to stay on time as much as possible, at least early. Can't speak to what happens later when we get into our nonsense, but just wanted to acknowledge what he did and those bats for coming through. Now, we had I wouldn't say scary, because Christian Walker seems to be fine, but he got hit on the hand, stayed in for a little bit, then came out. He termed it inflammation, and thankfully he's a hitter, and we saw it. Because when there's surprise inflammation for an Astro and a pitcher, then it's time to pack that guy up for a year and a half to 2 years. But with the hitter, yeah, you understand. He got hit in the hand with a baseball, so he'll be a little sore, a little agitated, and we'll see how long he's out, if at all. We'll see what the lineup is tonight, if he's in the lineup against the Rays. So we will hear from Lance McCullers when we come back. We'll certainly talk some basketball because, man, were the Wolves broken. Just watching the early parts of that game, that was a team who had enough of dealing with the Thunder. So we'll talk about that too. I think Raheel is going to join us today. I texted him to see if he was down to come on today. We'll see. Haven't heard back. But normally we hear from Raheel Ramzanali, the host of CityCast, at 11:15. So it'll be me and Sean till noon. And you'll hear from Lance McCullers when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's hear from Lance McCullers. He goes six, gets those 12 strikeouts. And Lee's probably feeling pretty good about himself, but let's hear the man himself talk to you about his performance yesterday afternoon.
I think it was good execution early. Backdoor sinker was there early, and then was getting some pretty big chases, and then they kind of adjusted there in the middle innings, and then so we readjusted, talked with Vic and how we're going to start approaching. We saw that the chases were starting to lay off and things of that nature, so it's kind of that cat and mouse game that. You'd rather be the one having to adjust your game plan versus having to be the one to adjust first. So just really proud of the guys. Great two-series win. And, keep rolling.
What does it mean for you to go six innings, top 100 pitches, a couple of things you haven't done in quite so long?
Yeah, I felt really good. Told Joe, I was thankful he gave me the opportunity to go back out there. So I just wanted to get in the zone and fill it up and, force the action there in the sixth.
The two-game series is so awkward, even the guys who play in them don't know how to talk about them. He goes, great to have a two-series win. You're like, we don't know how to talk about that. It's not really a series. It's just a couple games, but the Astros do sweep, and I think maybe that's a proper vernacular. We swept the two-game series, and they did that against the A's, and they got Gusto on the mound today. Against Shane Bass. And I mentioned Christian Walker. He did get hit in the hand. He's day-to-day. He is the one guy who we possibly could have seen today that may not be available because, like Yordan, it's like either a thumbs up or thumbs down, depending on what depending on the day. And right now it's been consecutive thumbs down. I think someone was pretty funny. I saw it. They tweeted out what Commodus did in Gladiator. Joe Espada goes to Yordan every day, and it's either the Commodus thumbs up or thumb down. And so far it's been the thumbs down. So we'll see when Yordan is ready to go. And so far the bats have picked it up and they haven't really missed them. Of course, you want your best hitter back, but with Altuve picking it up, and of course, guys like DeCenzo finding ways to contribute in that nine hole, which has been actually pretty productive considering some of the names that have been there. They've done a good job. Yordan is missed, but it isn't crippling. You just hope to have him back some point soon to get your guys in. Of course, it'll take him some time to adjust, but you'd love to have him back and. To either come back hot or give him the opportunity relatively soon to work himself out of what has been, I guess you'd say, a year-long slump. He has not been good, but you just expect that to turn around because we're having the same conversations about Jose Altuve, and all he decided to do was, focus on one pitch, stop trying to hit everything, and now he's back to form. So hopefully Yordan follows suit. Okay, we had the Thunder make the finals in a game that was not competitive. I don't think the Wolves broke double digits. Did they get in double digits in the first quarter? Because I was on the verge of tuning out the last 2 minutes of that quarter. you could tell from the jump that they weren't in it. They wanted nothing to do with it. And I think the defense for the Thunder broke the Wolves. Certainly the disappointment of not being able to win game four did. Yeah, they only had 9 points in the first quarter. And the Thunder weren't shooting the ball that well. They only scored 26, but their defense was suffocating. You saw Naz Reid dribbling the trouble. Julius Randle continued to make me look dumber and dumber, talking about him as a potential good fit for the Rockets. He put on a display once the game was in hand for the Thunder, so the point total doesn't look bad. He put up 24 and 5, but he did that after they were down 20 plus. It wasn't a good effort from him, and it looked like a team who, after the first 3 minutes of that game, realized, oh, this is going to be really tough, and we're not looking for tough right now. I don't know what they expected, but what they got was the Thunder suffocating them on the defensive end, and they're not willing to do the hard stuff to get good shots. Just a lot of dribbling into congested areas. And the other thing that stood out particularly early before I really mostly focused on the hockey, shout out to the Panthers for making another Stanley Cup Finals, third year in a row for them, but Rudy Gobert's hands, I know they're bad, but this isn't just him even just catching a basketball on when he's rolling. It's a rebound that he should secure. And one swipe by someone and the ball's flying. For a guy who is as effective as he is, the hands are atrocious. Chances for him to simply get a putback, ball bounces off his hands. It's not his game, I understand. No one's looking at Rudy Gobert to be a skilled offensive player, but I mean, secure a rebound, man. And yeah, a bunch of, Ant said, they're a bunch of puppets all on the string, like 15 puppets on the string. That's how they play the game. They're connected that way defensively. All of the Wolves were bad. Looking at Nickeil Alexander-Walker, smoked a couple layups in the first quarter. Just none of those guys were prepared for that environment. And while the Thunder shooting the ball poorly made that score look relatively okay for most of the first quarter, once they made a couple of shots and pushed it above double digits, that was the game. So a disappointing end to that series for the Wolves after another Western Conference Finals appearance. And a lot of talk after was for Ant Edwards, how do you feel? How do you feel about the game? Are you disappointed by it? And, you know, This is the commentary and the response of a 20-something-year-old who thinks he's going to have more and more opportunities. And you know what? He may not be wrong, but he talked about it not hurting. I think we got it over there. It's probably just on the rundown, so I don't think I downloaded it. He talked about, why should I be hurt by this? Because everyone expects you lose a game like that, you're in the conference finals and you think you got a shot to make the finals. Now it's your second year in a row of not being able to get over the hump. How do you feel? Are you broken by it? Are you going to come back? And, you know, I'm not surprised that the player who isn't even 24 years old discussed it in a way that might make you think it's not that big of a deal for him. There are other players on that team like Julius Randle, who was looking to get a payday, and we'll see how the last parts of his playoff run affect it. So he certainly has some concerns, but Ant seems a little unbothered by it all. Here's Anthony Edwards discussing getting eliminated in 5.
You came up short twice, knowing what it's like to be on the winning side. How much does it hurt, and what does it feel like to come up short of the finals 2 years in a row?
It's exciting. I don't know why people would think it would hurt. I mean, it's exciting for me. I'm 23. I get to do it a whole bunch of times. I'm hurt more so for myself, for Mike. I came up short for Mike. Like I said, we tried last year. We couldn't get it. We tried again this year. We're going to try again next year. But hurting is a terrible word to use. I'm good. Yeah.
He's good. You know that adage. You never know. You never know how many times you're going to get this opportunity. He's not subscribing to that. And when you feel like you're at the top of your game and one of the best players in the world, I'm sure he does, and he probably should believe he's going to have more and more opportunities to do this. I think we do forget when we watch these games, at least some people do, because you saw the reporter looking for the quote, looking for the emotional ant, and how losing two conference finals before you turn 24, how's that going to affect your mindset? He's like, man, you see me? I'm good. And he probably is. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to be one of those guys who was always in the hunt. Sean, did you see what Converse did? Converse is the shoe brand that gives Shea all his shoes. He's their guy. Apparently, I didn't know this because I'm not that locked in on it. Ann Edwards has his Adidas slogan is "Believe That," okay. And Converse had a video ready as soon as the series was over of an ant crawling around, an actual ant crawling around, and the big word in there was unbelievable. Believe That. They responded with unbelievable.
I get like what they're trying to go for, but I don't actually know what that like means.
I imagine
like I just imagine saying unbelievable. Shea won.
No, or
unbelievable, or ant lost.
There's nothing to believe about ants. I guess
it's just like it is another word that has believe in it.
True,
it is and a different word.
And but, you emphasize everything by having an ant crawl around for about 9 seconds.
Good job, Converse.
What if you could? What could they have been better served? Now, of course, an animal rights activist might be upset about
squashing
this.
An ant.
Yeah, having Shea's signature shoe land on a digital ant, not a real one. Slammed on that.
Way better idea.
And then you go, believe that.
Yeah, way better idea.
Worked it out for him. Hey, guys.
Maybe that's why none of us can close our eyes and picture a Converse sneaker from the last 50 years.
Yeah,
maybe that's
why. The Shea where All-Star Chuck Taylor, is that what he wears out on the court? Is that what he's wearing?
The only shoe that they've ever made that people can remember.
And that stands the test of time are the Chuck Taylors. I'll have to look up Shea's shoes now. I didn't know they were
Converse. I'm sure they look fine.
I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure they're...
Everyone's shoes kind of look the same.
Yeah.
Like, this is where we've come, where it's just like, oh, yeah. You could just take the logo off and tell me it's a different brand of shoe. I'd be like, all
right,
sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at the shoe right now. It is very, very similar to shoes I've seen in the past. If you told me this was Allen Iverson's shoe... Not the famous ones that everyone knows, but Allen Iverson later on had shoes that were less recognizable as they evolved the brand. I can say this looks exactly like one of his late model shoes.
Late stage Allen Iverson.
Yeah, it's what it is. I mean, shoes, whatever. But I think
we're running out of ideas for shoes.
Yeah,
especially basketball shoes.
Because they have to have a certain level of performance and shoe profile and all those things.
And they have to look different.
Yeah.
And like, guys, we've kind of hit the ceiling on what we can do with, like, I don't know, a foot.
Yeah, if you told me Shea shoe was modeled off the Answer 4, I'd be like, you know what? I guess, because they look somewhat similar.
But then this is where it's like, well, can Converse model a shoe off of a non-Converse shoe?
I don't know.
Like, where does that leave us?
Yeah, I don't know that they did that. I'm just saying they look similar enough that I would believe that that's where it came from. Because, as you said, I mean, there are not a lot of things you can do with the basketball shoe right now that hasn't been done. They're all very similar.
We've done this for like 40 years now. I think.
Yeah.
I think we're
good. We're all out of ideas, right?
But we gotta. That's another thing. I'm not connected with the the shoe people, but it feels like the shoe that everyone is trying to get are still Jordans. Like, no one's like, oh my God, did you see the new ants?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I went to an AAU tournament or a high school basketball game, what shoes are being worn. I'm sure Kobe's are still being worn.
Yeah.
Of course, Jordans.
I think it's just Nikes.
And also, it just depends on who's sponsoring the tournament.
That too. Yeah.
And who's sponsoring the high school. That'll determine what shoes are being worn, stuff like that. But as far as a regular old open run, I'm sure there's some KDs. I think people like the KDs, and hell, some people like the Sabrinas, Sabrina Ionescu shoes. I see those being worn. Actually, for NBA players, they wear them too. So I'm sure there's some variations. as far as the official shoes for athletes, but as far as what they look like, pretty much all the same, except for LeBron's, because his are, I guess, they decided to model them because of how big he is and what he.
I was gonna say,
what
he has still to do. Like they weigh like 5 pounds.
I guess. I mean, but look, that dude's 6'8", 6'9", 245, and he has to do what he does. I imagine the shoe has to be a little different than what it would have to be for a Shea. So I get that part of it. But either way, we have fixed Converse as far as what they should have done.
Yeah.
To accentuate your guy winning and their guy losing.
Yeah. I still, like, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I guess you can't, I guess even you can't kill a digital ant.
Why not?
I don't know.
Why can't you?
I think you should be able to.
Yeah, this is like when a Twitter account for a team like beats another team and they like whatever, like the
Rockets and the Mavs.
Yeah, or the Astros with the sweep
and that was
with Seattle.
And that was too much.
Yeah, it's like
what?
Well, if we're going to do the performative smack talk, like, can we at least be allowed to be a little bit spicy with it? Like, to be a mild spicy with it before people start crying? Like, we're not even going full. Like, we're not even going up to 11 here. I don't know. I would love for one team. I've been thinking about this during the playoffs. For one team just to, like, not do the, like, final, you know, unbelievable. You know, like, oh. However they want to, Houston, we have a problem. Like, mm-hmm. Just think, like, go without the winning one. Like, just be like, here's our final score. We won game three, all right? Let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
We're the Knicks, all right? We just saved our season in game three.
It shouldn't be
before promptly losing,
like,
our season.
It shouldn't
in game
go
four.
Hashtag no sirs. It shouldn't be that.
No.
Like, to mock the Pacers. Yeah, we'll see what happens tonight with the Knicks trying to keep their season alive. They got a game five at home against those Pacers. Pacers trying to close it out. And I guess meet the Thunder, what people have decided would be NBA Armageddon as far as the ratings are concerned. Thunder versus Pacers, God forbid, I guess. I'll be fine watching the games. I think it'll be entertaining. We'll see if the Pacers offense, if it comes to this, if the Knicks don't have a miraculous comeback in them, if the Pacers offense can do something that no one has been able to do really throughout these playoffs and cause the Thunder some real issues. Because so far, with all those plus defenders out there, it's been hell for everybody they face. Okay, we will get to the Texans when we come back because OTA time. DeMeco spoke about the offensive line, and we'll give you, I guess, what the starting offensive line is as of today, because people got their eyes on that unit. Very important as far as the success of the team. And we'll tell you about, it's not a real quarterback situation, but Davis Mills was getting all the first team reps. Why? Well, it's pretty easy to figure out. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Riley chimes in. I believe he's a big Thunder fan from what I remember. He kind of echoes what I was saying earlier, that Thunder had Minnesota broken early. He said Minnesota had no answers last night from the jump. His suggestion that Joe Ingles might have helped, if only for the vibes, because of Ingles and his time with Utah. Unlikely. When there was a series where the Thunder had Paul George, that Ingles was a better player in that series. He, along with Donovan Mitchell, beat the Thunder in the series. But unlikely that this version of Joe Ingles was going to have an impact, but no one was last night for the Wolves, and that includes one Naz Reid. So let me ask you a question. We'll get to the Texan stuff here. Sean, and anyone listening, if you were famous enough for people to DM you for a poor performance,
okay,
do you think,
just like after the show, like,
yeah, if someone was, hey, you missed a couple bites, bad timing, stuff like that, whatever, hey man, you should hit this drop, whatever,
you didn't have the audio queued up,
yeah, stuff like that, whatever it might take for them to notice you not having a great show, whatever it might be, do you think you would ever respond in a way that Naz Reid responded? Have you seen what Naz Reid
No. Now this was Nas Reed.
Well, this was over the course of two games, and of course, this is
this all, series.
Yes, and this is all over, like, of course, fantasy and stuff. A guy had an over, or maybe simply a guy had an over on my on Nas's points. He didn't get it, so he DM'd Nas Reed. Oh. He has a screenshot of the bet and then says, "You're so ass," to Nas Reed. Now, if that hit you, like they pulled up a clip from YouTube and go, "You're so ass," are you responding to that? Are you, you know what? This is not the time. Nothing good can come of this, so I'm not going to respond. Does it depend on what you're doing at the moment? Because
I mean, okay, so if I'm putting myself in Nas Reed's shoes.
Yes. Are you?
I don't know if he wears Converse or not, but if I'm putting myself in his shoes, I think I am. You have to imagine he's not in a great mood. Although maybe he's like, me and Ant, we can do this. We can keep doing this.
No, yeah, this was after game four.
Okay,
so he
game
was
four.
A close loss probably wasn't in a great mood.
Yeah, so maybe I probably wouldn't. I probably, after a loss, probably just wouldn't like.
Be on social media at all?
Probably just wouldn't, or at least like check my
particularly
messages.
If you had a poor game.
Yeah, just like wouldn't stick my head in there. But if I were to, I wouldn't comment even knowing that I'm mad. I'm guessing Nas Reed decided to apply.
He did, and the other part of this is there's always a risk of what happens where the guy will just simply video the entirety of your or screen record the entirety of the conversation as he scrolls up and down to show everybody. And now you're Nas Reed who responded with you mad broken fat. That was his initial response, and that's the start of the whole thing. Once they got you to respond, now they know. Let me keep poking at you, and now it's time. Now I'm gonna go viral. A lot of you're broke from Nas in return.
I mean, true.
Yeah.
the guy might be broke. Has less money than Nas Reed.
Now, of course, the guy was like, I'm not broke. I lost a bet, but that's chump change. That was
his response. Nas Reed go, then why are you DMing me?
No, that would have been, if I was involved in this, this is what I would have done.
If it doesn't matter, why are you DMing
But me? No, it was a lot of you're broke, you're fat. I took four shots and missed one, and then he got into you suck stuff, and Nas's response. And then it's Nas decided, you know what? After game five, I got more time.
Oh.
Because after the game five loss, Nas Reed was on, I'm going to get 100 mil. And the guy's like, man, they're not paying you 100 mil. Nas Reed's probably going to make $100 million. Just how the finances of the NBA go. He probably will be making a lot of money very shortly. But either way, the guys never figure it out, man. Now, as far as how we respond to these things, nothing's going to happen to Nas Reed. Maybe he catches a letter from the NBA. Hey, could you not call a fan fat and broke and tell him he's sucking stuff? Could you not do that? We'd appreciate it. But for the most part, nothing's going to happen to him. But guys, come on. This is what's going to happen if you respond. Have we learned no lessons? Now, to your point, maybe Nas Reed was in a state where nothing could have kept him from responding in that way.
Yeah, that's his you suck too, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes, even when you know better, you still are agitated to the point where you respond in kind to some of the issues, or at least some of the words being thrown your way. Nas Reed, future $100 million man, at least according to Nas Reed. But not above telling a fan he's broken fat because they're upset about a bet that you cost them.
He's definitely going to make $100 million. Yeah. The more I've thought about it, it's like 3 years, $33
million. Yeah, he's going to make $100 million.
Per, yeah.
Will it come from the Wolves? That's up for debate. But he's probably going to find a way to be a starter someplace as a valued six man with a team who's made a couple conference finals. So that happened. Not a lot of contentious moments with the Texans yesterday. I don't think D'Amico got into it with anyone yesterday, from what I can tell.
Call anyone mad, fat, and broke.
I mean, he would be in a position to do that too. He's neither broke nor fat, so if he could say that too, I guess. But no,
you're mad most of the time.
I always position him as excited.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even like after they give up, 12 sacks against the Chiefs or whatever it was, he was just like, man, sucks.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't.
We haven't seen him angry, have we?
We've been getting our quarterback killed all year. do the Steven Silas smack the table. Just he was like, man, we just got to work on ourselves.
Yeah. He's not a guy who's he shows his emotions, but is rarely ever in anger. So you mentioned the offensive line getting the quarterback killed. They've made several additions to the unit. I mean, as far as the quality of those additions, it's not really up for debate. The numbers tell you they weren't that good. We'll see how they perform under Nick Caley and Cole Popovich. But if we care about the starters on May 28th, the unit was Cam Robinson at left tackle, Lakin Tomlinson at left guard, Jake Andrews at center, no Scruggs or Patterson anywhere in the mix, and then Titus Howard at guard and Blake Fisher at right tackle. So that may be a unit that's simply for day one, maybe just simply for media viewing. In future OTAs, it may be different, but at the moment, Cam Robinson, Lakin Tomlinson, a couple of your new additions in the starting five. And we have some sound from D'Amico Ryans here, so we'll get to that. It's on the offensive line, and he kind of says what is the reasonable thing, that, guys, it's early, but here's D'Amico Ryans. I think I have that over there. Oh, someone's going to DM you and go, you man, you trash.
Yeah, I don't know where.
What happened? It's not over there? I didn't save it? If I didn't, then that's on me. Don't send the DM to Sean. It would have to come to me. Maybe I didn't save it. Either way, we'll get to that when we come back because we're late for a break anyway. We're not on time, but we'll try to stay as close to on time as possible. So we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans when we come back on the state of the offensive line and whether anyone should be caring that much about it right now. We'll hear from the Texans coach. I was going to say on the other side, but then I caught myself because very early in the show I said I don't want to do that. So we're going to stick with we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans when we come back.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Okay, let's hear from D'Amico Ryans and we'll get to him. Maybe something else before we close out the segment and get to the second hour. Oh, Raheel's going to join us at 11:15. Confirm that the host of CityCast will be here with us in the second hour. But D'Amico Ryans, after people got a look at the offensive line, probably the biggest question of this offseason for the Texans, how will that improve? D'Amico Ryans was asked about it. Here is his response.
Yeah, this is our first day in OTA, so when it comes to finding our best group, it'll be a lot of mixing and matching guys, putting guys in different spots, and seeing, you know, which five guys work well together. So the one thing about the O-line is a lot of smart guys in that room, and they can move around, they can play in multiple spots, so that helps them. But it's just a matter of finding that five once we actually get in training camp, put pads on. Nobody's making the team right now. It's shorts and kill.
The O-line propaganda is pretty fascinating that they've always been considered the smart ones. It's just something people say. Have you ever heard anyone say that O-line is pretty dumb? Like, they always get – they're kind of the smartest guys because they have to pick up all the stunts and the twists and the protections. O-line has a pretty good PR firm because all we hear about them is how smart they are. I mean, if I go by how the Texans picked up stunts last year
–
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if that's an indicator of intelligence, I think maybe there should have been a reevaluation. That's all. At least football intelligence. Who's to say how smart they are off the field? But that's, you hear that. I've never heard anyone go, you know, they're just okay. They're just okay mentally. O-lines always get, they're smart.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you could honestly stop it after, like, the first five words that D'Amico Ryan
first
said.
First day of OTAs? That's enough.
It's the first day of OTAs. Like, we have to have a starter, like, a first group that goes out there.
Like, the first guys to line up before, you know, a play is run? Yes.
And the next part that he can't say, won't say, whichever, is, and all these guys aren't that good, and we're going to have to mix and match the entire season. Like, they have, what, three more months of this just before they even, like, not even play a real, or no, yeah. Play a real game. Like, just play a game that matters. I'm not even counting preseason, like the preseason starting lineup. They have 3 months until it's like, okay, we have to land on this group, which, by the way, might involve cast-offs from other teams, and so their spot probably isn't locked in. It's just like, I saw so many people talking about the first offensive line group, and like, it means so little to me.
Particularly for this team. For another team who runs out their first offensive line group, you know, good players who have been, who were solid last year, okay, that's the group we're likely going to see unless there's an injury. But for this team, no idea what it's going to look like. You just have a bunch of guys.
They're all 75 overall in Madden, and you're just like trying to figure it out.
And you're trying to hope that they could coalesce and come together to be at least average to protect your quarterback.
75 was generous, by the way.
Yeah, I heard that number. Just let it go. I wonder what Ed Ingram is on Madden if we looked it up right now. Would he be a 75? You can look it up, probably. Either way, it's a unit that's in flux. It will likely continue to be in flux deep into preseason as they try to find an answer. Hopefully, whatever five they believe is best is the one they're able to stick with.
73 overall, Ed Ingram.
You did overinflate his Madden rating, but not by much. But maybe they're an average 75. Nah, that James Andrew dude can't be a 75 too. There's no chance. So there it is. You've got an offensive line who doesn't have a lot of talent on it, and one that's trying to figure some things out, and it began, at least for media viewing, yesterday. Something that popped up, and of course it's list time. People need to create content. It was something from Connor Orr. He does this yearly where he makes bold predictions. And this was on the Texans and future contracts, which don't need to be signed between now and the season beginning. But at some point, you got to make some decisions on how much and how long you're going to pay C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. He suggested that Will Anderson's deal would be more important for the Texans because they don't want the Micah Parsons deal to be something they have to work around. They'd rather get the Will Anderson deal first. They may just be forced to deal with the Micah Parsons deal coming first if the Cowboys are looking to get that deal done quickly, because Will Anderson isn't going into his third year. Will Anderson's people are probably not that interested in signing a deal after year two with what they expect their guy to be after year three. So the Nico Collins thing was cool and all. Just don't think you're going to get that from every player. And the contention was, beyond the Micah Parsons thing, C.J. Stroud was not his rookie self in year two. So the rush to give him a giant deal may be not something the Texans are looking at. And Will Anderson gets his money, and then C.J. gets a franchise tag before he gets a long-term deal. That I would be surprised by. Because even if you give him the franchise tag and you're not committed for a long-term deal, it does put it in your quarterback's head and the agent's head that, I'm not that sure about that guy. Now, we're going to give you top five money. You're going to be paid very well in that 1 year. Of course, we're talking years away now. But we're still not sure. I don't think you want that out there around your quarterback unless he gives you reason to not be sure. So that's the thing. That's the quiet thing that we don't want to address, because there's just the assumption that year one is what he is. That's what the first impression is, what everyone would like to believe. And I think that's what most people do believe, that year one was who he is. And as long as his offensive line isn't a disaster, he's going to revert back to that form. Maybe it's a pessimist in me. I don't think year two is a definite either, but I'm in the not sure category. I think he's a good player. I don't know if he will be a guy we're talking about consistently as a top five quarterback in this league.
He's not, just because the top five is like.
Yeah, we've had the talk about. He's never going to be better than Mahomes, Allen or Burrow, Lamar Jackson.
Lamar.
Yeah, like, and then can he slide in
right there?
Can he slide in at five, or will that always be an inflection point for him where there are guys who are going to have better years some years than he will, and maybe he's bottom of the of that top 10, and maybe he reaches top 5 status. I don't know.
Yeah, or like the Matt Ryan MVP year.
Yeah, stuff
where
like
it's
that.
Like for a year, you're sure. Like you're the everything best came together with the supporting cast and the offensive coordinator. It's like, okay, you can do it. Where it's like, but no one's like Matt Ryan. Remember Matt Ryan, that top 5 quarterback?
Yeah, it was never a thing. So, and it's not an insult to be Matt Ryan, you know.
No.
If that is how your career turns out.
It's such a good quarterback.
It's a really good quarterback, yeah.
There's so many, like, if he's Matt Ryan, I feel confident saying, would be the best quarterback in his draft.
Yes, because.
And in a lot of drafts.
Yes, he would be definitely better than what else was drafted and in that round, and maybe the 21 draft as well. And we'll see about the 24 draft, although Jaden Daniels got off to a great start, much like CJ did. So we'll see how he does in year two with all the expectations now that the Commanders have. So I don't think the franchise tag will ever be a thing.
No.
It just, I mean, you can come back from it. I mean, Lamar Jackson got it, but that was injury stuff. They weren't sure, I believe. On him as far as could he stay healthy, and then he was, and we've seen what he's become since he got his money. Right? Did he play under the franchise tag, or was that just a consideration? It might have been just a consideration before he got his long-term
deal. Or he might have been tagged and then signed the extension.
Yeah, because that was the offseason where you could have traded for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And we had all these teams
it
come out.
It would cost like 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, and all these teams came out and go, we're not interested.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, Why aren't you interested?
The Falcons are like, nope, we got big plans for a quarterback position. Don't involve Lamar Jackson.
Nothing to do with Lamar Jackson. We got a guy we think we have a handle on. And then the Browns said, hey, you want $230 million guaranteed? And the guy was like, yeah, I love that. And then the Falcons were like, ah, we're out. So maybe take the bird in hand as opposed to, well, whatever you want to describe to Sean's career since the moment he asked out of Houston. Let's just say it's not been good. Okay, if you want to get in on the show, you can, 713-780-3776. We will be joined by Raheel 11:15. So we do have a segment before then if you want to call in. Sorry, I'm just watching Thunder highlights as they are torturing random Wolves, and they did a lot of that through the 5 games as they go to the finals. So we got one finals participant ready to go. We'll see if the Pacers can close out the Knicks at MSG. That would be great. It is another night where we're going to be bombarded by New Yorkers, or at least fans of the team, whether it be the players or the Chalamets and the Stillers. Sean, I want you to think, and we'll have this talk before we come back. Which New York celebrity are you most hoping is miserable tonight? Like, is it Chalamet? Is it Stiller? Is it Spike Lee? Think of all the guys. Now, you can look it up. Look at all the guys who... Celebrities.
I'm looking up New York celebrities.
Women and, well, ones who go to Knicks games.
I'll do the editing.
Yeah. Men and women who are fans of the Knicks who have been shown at games, like one Anne Hathaway. Are you looking for Anne Hathaway to be upset tonight? I know you have issues with her dad because he takes the side of the big guy, not the little guy. So
it's a union buster. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Or no, he doesn't pay out insurance claims. His job is to make sure they don't pay out insurance
exactly,
claims.
Exactly. So we'll figure it out when we come back because we could have a lot of sad Knicks fans. And as far as the famous ones are concerned, who do we hope is the saddest? We'll talk about that when we get back.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.